In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Let's pray a prayer, a Hail Mary for the repose of the soul of Pope Benedict. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is good. He's got everything planned. We're in some really interesting times. I just heard that all the flights in Florida are stalled. I think it's from North South Carolina to a bubble over Orlando area, from South Carolina, I think, all the way down to including Naples and West Palm. All flights have stopped. So they're saying it has to do with the air control towers. So they said it's just a glitch. So this is going to be fun. We start the new year with some really interesting things. The other thing too is we've lost a great theologian, Pope Benedict. And when you read, I loved reading what John Paul II would write. You know, what he would explain. It would take him 15 pages. He filled it with all sorts of ideas and interconnections. He was really amazing. But if you haven't read Pope Benedict's books, you'll be astonished. They're very short, very concise, very simple, but deep. That he had a way of expressing a truth very simply. And if you really want to understand Pope Benedict and his understanding of the church, it's so beautiful. I never recommend any other book but the Book of Heaven. But if you haven't read his books, he is so clear. He's so focused that you understand very, very clearly, not with many, many pages, but with a very short and complete understanding of a truth that he would meditate on and then give to the world. His writings were really, really, his books are really amazing. But today we're focusing on volume 8, February 16th, 1908. And Jesus says to Louisa, my daughter, it is really so. The cross alone is that which makes one know whether he really loves the Lord. But a cross carried with patience and resignation, because where there is patience and resignation in crosses, there is divine life. So what Jesus is showing us, many, many people are always complaining. A good friend of mine would always say to me, why me? Why me? What did I do? Why? And through his sufferings. And I'd always get a chuckle out of that, because Jesus says sufferings, they're the stagecoach to heaven. And all of us are suffering in one way or another, to a greater or lesser degree than the person next to us. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of us have our cross. And I've mentioned this once before, but a dear friend of mine who was in a mental institution for 42 years helped me one day when I was complaining. When she was born, she had, forgot the name of the disease, but she was crippled. She was deformed. When she spoke, you could hardly understand her. When she walked, she walked like a zombie. And when she would walk down the street, the children would scream and they'd say, a monster, monster. And her parents gave her up when she was born because of her deformity. But when they released her in the 70s from the mental institution, because all the institutions were closing, she was normal. She was a normal human being. Her intellect was very clear. She was very sharp. She had no mental problems, but because in those days, they didn't know what to do when someone didn't want a child, they put her in a mental institution because she really couldn't talk. She couldn't walk, you know, and she was so deformed. But one day when I was complaining to her, she said, look, if you could put your cross in a pile and leave it for a whole day and be free of your cross and then go back and pick up any cross you want, she said, you'd go back and pick up your own cross. And she said, I don't want your cross and you don't want my cross. It's our life, she said. This is the life that Jesus gave us, and you would want to live it because you know it's yours. And here is a woman who tortured basically, you know, all of her life, yet she was resigned. She was patient. She embraced her cross as her life. You know, it hurt her terribly that people would reject her. But what I found in her was this divine life. She had a joy, a peace, a happiness that most people who have a slight problem complain about, you know, dragging their cross behind them, complaining, being upset, like my friend, why me? Why me? You know, it's the cross is Jesus tells Louisa, the cross alone is what makes a person know whether he really loves the Lord. Is all of us have difficulties. All of us have sufferings. What do we do with our sufferings? What do we do with our difficulties? Do we drag our cross behind us, complaining and being negative? Or are we embracing our cross and saying, as Jesus taught Louisa, you know, you've given me this small cross. You were the one that was crucified. You're the one that was crucified, Lord. Your mother stood by you and watched you die this horrible death. And you give me a little suffering. And so Louisa would say to Jesus, I would like you to come down from the cross. I'll take your place for a short time. It's our suffering is nothing compared to what we understand. When we read the Hours of the Passion, we really begin to understand that the sufferings that Jesus and Mary went through were horrendous. And they did this for our benefit, for us to have the opportunity to be freed from the evil one and now to be sanctified. So what do we do with our sufferings? What do we do with our cross? It's our life. How do we deal with that suffering that is, for a lot of people, it's constant. And this is what Jesus says. Since nature is so reluctant to suffering, if there is patience, it cannot be something natural, but divine. Nobody wants to suffer. We don't embrace suffering because it's fun. As Jesus says, nature is reluctant to suffering. But if there's patience, it's not natural anymore. It's divine. Jesus embraced his cross. When you watch the movie, Mel Gibson's movie, the Passion of the Christ, that's what Jesus did. He embraced the cross. That's right from Louisa. That's right from the 24 hours of the Passion. Jesus embraced the cross. He kissed the cross. He waited for that cross so that he could free us from our suffering. He died at all of our deaths. He went through all of our sufferings. He's already gone through all of this. And now we share in that suffering, as St. Paul says. And it's to help us understand that the love of God for humanity, the love of God, this divine love. And Jesus says, and the soul no longer loves the Lord with her love alone, but united with the love of the divine life. Of Jesus's life, of Mary's life. What Jesus shows Louisa is with the new Adam and the new Eve, we're going to participate in this new and abundant life of Jesus and Mary. Our DNA is going to change. Right now, our DNA changed when Adam sinned, when we fell to earth, when Adam fell to earth. Jesus said it was a miracle that he survived. He fell from such a height, such a glory, sharing in divinity, image and likeness of God to a fallen human nature. And Jesus says he's asking us to let go of the love of earth, to embrace the love of heaven, to embrace this divine life, this divine love, this divine light, diving into this infinite ocean of love and participating, never leaving this, the love of God. So when Jesus suffered, he gave us an example of what suffering is. And for many of us, it has to be, saying to the Lord, whatever you want, I want. And that's a tough one, because when you really think about it, you've seen a lot of people suffer and you go, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it, but it's the grace of God, the love of God, the light of God, the life of God in that soul. This, it's not a human, it's divine. And this love, Jesus says, is what he wants us to live. This, the whole gift of the divine will is love. The war that we're in is a war of love. It's not a war of blood. You know, when Jesus says, get ready to fight to the death, you know, embracing God, you know, to die for the love of God, to die for, you know, being one with him. A lot of people think it's a war of blood, and it might include blood, but the war that we're in is a war of love, to enter into this life of God, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which they gave to Louisa. So Jesus says, so what doubt can the soul have whether she loves or not, if she arrives at loving him with his own love? See, there's no doubt anymore. It's the love of God that we enter into. And to love God with our whole mind, our whole heart, and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. This is the battle we're in. The evil one wants us separated from God. The evil one wants us separated from our brothers and sisters. He wants us to go a separate way. But Jesus shows us this life, this love, this light that he and his mother possess, this divine life, is how we're supposed to live. And that docility, that surrender, that submission is what we basically have to do. We have to say to the Lord, you're the Lord. You know, when you do it your way, it's always suffering. We get more suffering. And a lot of times, what God does in his mercy, he lets us go through physical suffering, spiritual suffering, mental suffering, emotional suffering to wake us up. He doesn't want to lose us. And he says to Louisa, you could come back to God through divine mercy, or you could come back to God with divine justice. He says it's really up to the soul. What we see with the apparitions of Our Lady throughout the world, Jesus speaking to the mystics, humanity is very stubborn. Humanity is very opposite of what God is asking them to be, one with him, fused with him. So what the Lord has done is he's given us the book of heaven to help us really begin to surrender to this divine life of Jesus and Mary that they gave to Louisa. So Jesus says this, on the other hand, in other things, even in the very sacraments, may also be someone who loves, who contains this divine life within himself, but these things cannot give the certainty of the cross. Okay, so what's the Lord showing us is he's showing us that the sacraments help us immensely. The sacraments, Jesus said, sacraments and sacramentals are medicine that God is giving to us to bring us to an awareness, a healing of the love of God, of the life of God, of the light of God. He says, even in the very sacraments, there also may be someone who loves, who contains this divine life within himself, but these things cannot give the certainty of the cross. See, the cross is our life, and the power of the cross is Christ crucified. The power of the cross is Christ crucified. The power, the glory is Jesus nailed to that cross. A lot of people would rather have a plain cross, and the evil one would rather hit you have a dove tied, you know, nailed onto it, or a word on the cross, or anything but the body of Christ crucified. I have a life-size crucifix in my chapel, and this one woman came in and she looked at the Christ on the cross and she says, "Get that thing down from there." And I looked at her. I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "He suffered enough. He doesn't have to continue to suffer." And I'm going, wow. We see Christ. This is glory. This is victory. This is triumph. He conquered the evil one. Christ crucified. Mary at the foot of the cross. It's the two of them together, the new Adam and the new Eve, dying so that we could live, exchanging their lives for us. But Jesus says, the certainty is the cross. So what suffering are we going through? What physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering are we going through? A lot of the suffering that they go through is their own desire. A lot of women say, my son, my grandchildren, I'm worried about everyone. And it's like, worry says to Jesus Christ that you're not a good God. I got to worry about it. I got to be concerned about it. You're not concerned about it. I've got to. And that is so insulting to the Lord when you worry. Jesus said to the apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he goes, of course it doesn't. And then he says, stop worrying. That's a commandment from Jesus. What worry does is says to the Lord, I can't trust you. So what does Jesus do for in our time? He's given us divine mercy. And he says to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. It's going to get bumpy. It's going to get real. Just think about, when did you ever hear of all of Florida being without flights? When did you ever hear of that before? It's going to get really bumpy. Our job is to say to the Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. Or you can have an ulcer by worrying. You can have a stroke by worrying. You can have a heart attack by worrying. Or you can say to the Lord, Jesus, I trust in you. You're my God. You're my Savior. You're my King. You're my everything. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. I'm going, thank you for showing this to me, whatever it is. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. You're the one that's offended. And Lord, I want to repair this. I want to redo this. This is what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. The certainty of the cross proves whether you love God or not. And for most of us, we're going to spend a long time in purgatory if we get to purgatory, hopefully, because we didn't trust in the Lord. And that is, we when you worry, you feed the demon of worry. You keep it alive in you. And we got to stop that. No more worry. No more fear. When you're fearful, you keep the demon of fear alive in you. You're feeding it every day. You're not feeding the Lord with love and peace and joy and happiness. You're not feeding the Lord with that first bread, the bread of the divine will. You're feeding him with, you're not. You're feeding the evil one. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. It's feeding the evil one, keeping it alive in you. And this is why I love Lent. Lent is a time of prayer, fasting, mortification, and basically driving out the evil one. How? By starving him to death. No more worry. I trust in you, Jesus. All right, my confidence is in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. And see, the evil one wants us terrified. Why? He's terrified. He's dead. He stinks. He smells. He's disgusting. He's rotting. Why? He gave up life. He gave up God. We, on the other hand, we could go through difficulties because we are with Jesus. We are with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. They went through it. We can go through it. Not to the degree that they went through it, but we know that they're with us. they know that they console us. My friend who I said, who was always saying, why me? He spends a lot of time in front of the Blessed Sacrament because he says, I am not leaving you, Lord, until this situation is solved. And it's always solved. When you spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, sharing with him, talking to him, he's talking to you too. And you have to enter silence to hear the Lord. And you don't hear him with your ears. You hear him with your heart. You hear him with your soul. You hear the Lord. The Lord is the Word. He's always speaking. The Holy Spirit is always with us through baptism and confirmation. He's always with us, especially if we're in the state of grace. If we're not in the state of grace, use the sacraments, the sacrament of confession. Use this medicine to bring us back to the life that our God wants us to live. It's so great to be Catholic. We have Mary, our mother, not just as a woman, but as the queen of heaven and earth. We have the sacraments, the sacramentals. We have all that the church possesses, the fullness of life, of light, of faith we got. And we can dive into this infinite ocean. And now with the Book of Heaven, it becomes more clear. We, you know, mentioned the Pope Benedict's writings. They're beautiful. But when you read the writings that Jesus gave to Louisa, dictated to Louisa, everything changes for you. Every question that you have, when you read the Book of Heaven, is answered. Jesus says that to Louisa. He says, all your questions are answered here. I know a number of people say, well, that's impossible. You know, what about this question? When you read and listen to the Lord, listen to him speak to your heart, your mind, your soul, and everything changes. This Book of Heaven is from heaven. Jesus gave Louisa the title, and in volume 19, he said to St. Annibal de Francia, this is what you're to name the book. You know, it's to enter into this life. So he says, the certainty is the cross that God has given you. How are you? Like my friend Kathy, she was in the mental institution for 42 years. What does she have that most people don't have? It's a peace. I mean, a prisoner for no reason but being born and being different than others. Yet she had such peace that everybody loved to be around her. She was really an amazing woman. Jesus says, it may be there, it may not, because of a lack of disposition. So the certainty of the cross shows you how much you love God. He says it might be there, it may be not, because of the lack of disposition. So this next talk that we're going to give, the next four talks that we're going to give for January, February, March, and April are on disposition. What's the dispositions that God is calling you to? And as you enter into the disposition, this life of fiat, Everything is solved for you. It may be the same situation that doesn't look like anything has changed, but what has changed is your disposition, your peace, your joy, your happiness. So Jesus says, one can very well go to confession, but if he lacks the dispositions, it is certainly not said that he loves and that he receives this divine life within himself. So it's always when you go to confession, when you make a good confession, when you have firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin, what happens at that point is you receive this divine life within yourself, the peace, the joy, the happiness in all situations. And Jesus is saying, I've got to purify the church, purify the world to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the world. You're going to see a lot of changes happen, but especially within yourself. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. What matters is what's in here, is the peace, the joy, the happiness of God within. And so how do we get to that point where Jesus and Mary are alive in you. Jesus and Mary, the DNA, if you want to say, of Jesus, the DNA of Mary is you possess image and likeness of the new Adam and of the new Eve. So Jesus says you could go to confession, but you don't have the disposition. You don't have divine life within you. He says another may receive Holy Communion. Indeed, if he receives the divine life, but he can only say that this is divine life that remains in him if he had the true dispositions to receive Jesus. Think about, what do you do when you go to Holy Mass? Are you there before Mass, or do you come in late? Are you there for the final blessing, which is Jesus' blessing through the priest, or do you leave early? When you receive Holy Communion, in that 15 minutes after you receive, Jesus tells Louisa and the saints, basically, that you're in communion with God until the host dissolves. That 15 minutes is the most special time of your life. And what do? You run in church, go to Mass, and run out of church. And without falling in love with God, you know, we have to begin to understand that the Holy Eucharist is God Almighty. So they say 70% of Catholics don't believe that anymore. That's a shame. That's where we are. We have to begin to understand that our Lord loves us so much that as he imprisoned himself in the womb of Mary for 9 months, he's imprisoned himself in the tabernacle for us for the last 2,000 years. Why? Jesus shows Louisa. Because the kingdom is coming. You've got to be one with God. You've got to be fused with God. You've got to understand that there's nothing as important as being one with the one who loves us the most, the one who gave up his life. Mary stood with him, dying with him on Calvary. Jesus said the only reason she didn't physically die was because of the divine will. So receiving Holy Communion, what's the reason? Look at Sunday. Is Sunday a holy day of obligation for you, for your family? Is Sunday a day where you keep it holy? Or is it another sports day? For most of humanity, Sunday is a sports day. And they're cheering, pigskin being thrown from one field to the other side of the field. We should be cheering Jesus, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God on Sunday. This is his day. It's not our day for sports anymore. And so Jesus is teaching us, make Sunday the Lord's day again. Give it back to him. It's not another Saturday. It's the Lord's day. And what happens at that point is by keeping holy the Sabbath, your week goes on. Your week, the rest of the week, is easier. Why? Things go right. Things go well when we turn to God first, when we are disposed to be obedient to the commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. You know, this is what God is asking. So he says, indeed, if he receives divine life through Holy Communion, he can only say that this is divine life and remains within him if he has the true dispositions. In fact, it can be seen how some receive Holy Communion or go to confession, but as occasions arise, patience of the divine life cannot be seen in those souls. And if patience is missing, love is missing, because love is recognized only through sacrifice. Jesus is showing us how to be one with him. To be one with him is to spend time with him. I know a lot of people say, you know, read sacred scripture every day. Well, if you're going to Holy Mass every day, sacred scripture is read to you. But to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, to be in the presence of Jesus in the monstrance, to recognize him as Lord and Savior and Master and King, to fall in love with God by looking at him, is greater than listening to, you know, a good talk. your heart, your mind, your soul belongs to God. And when we spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, what happens, he begins to change every aspect of our life. Patience, again, is one of the most important thing. I look at a lot of people going through a lot of difficulties, and I'm amazed by the patience that they have. Even in suffering, the joy that they have. This, Jesus says, is the love of God reigning in them. You know, when Jesus on the cross, what did he do? He said, because of his love, he says, John, you know, this is your mother. Mary, this is your son. And then he says to John, take care of her. As I took care of her, basically, he says. I want you to allow her to help you as she helped me. So again, the Holy Rosary is very important. We're going to get into some tough times. And if we have to train ourselves to pray the Holy Rosary, we have to train ourselves to turn to the Blessed Mother, who always leads us to her son. And when Jesus, see, we need a lot of help. We are stubborn. We're miserable. We're worried. We're fearful, anxious, complaining. We're negative. We're impatient. Jesus says, come to my mother. She's going to show you how to go through this. I will show you. My mother will show you. It's always Jesus and Mary. It's never just Jesus alone. It's never just Mary alone. It's the two of them, the new Adam and the new Eve, who want to breathe in us their life, their light, their love. So again, I think one of the saddest things that we have today is television. Television, we're being trained, programmed to live a life without God. I mean, even Sesame Street, I know many, many people put their children in front of television, like with Sesame Street, that'll keep them entertained. What does it teach them? How to be happy without Jesus Christ. You can't be happy without Jesus Christ. You can't be peaceful without Jesus Christ. You can't. But a lot of these kids have been, they've been in front of the television since they were born, and they don't know the love of God. They don't know the joy, the happiness of being with Jesus. And so we have to train ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves. So what has the Lord done? He's given us the book of heaven. As you read the book of heaven, everything changes in your life. Everything changes. And he needs us to cooperate so that he can bring about a new and divine way of holiness. So in volume 8, August 26, 1908, my daughter, that which I, God, want you to take to heart is constancy in good, both internal and external, because the repetition of the act of loving Jesus, of many interior acts of constant good, makes divine life grow ever more in the soul, but with such energy that the soul can be compared to a child who, growing in good air with healthy foods, keeps growing well in full health until he reaches his proper stature, without needing either doctors or medicine. Even more, is so robust and so strong that he relieves and helps others. So Jesus is saying, I want this constancy. You know, this constancy of the sun, the moon, the stars, the constancy of spring, summer, fall, and winter, the constancy of the waves, the constancy. This is God, to enter into this echo of God that's all around us. That's why when you begin to pray the rounds, this repetition of loving God, this constant good, makes the divine life grow within you, brings us back to where Adam was before the fall, but even more than that, brings us back to the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which they gave to Louisa. This divine life has to grow in us. So what does that mean? That means the other things have to stop. We don't want competition with divine life. So like I said, keep holy the Sabbath. When you go to church, go earlier to spend time with your Eucharistic Lord. after Mass, spend time after Mass, not in fellowship, but with prayer, to enter into adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God, truly worshiping God. This is what the Lord is looking for. That's how he lived. He turned to the Father and gave all praise in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That's what he teaches Luisa. And now he's teaching us this. He's asking us, I want you to become constant as the morning star, constant as the sun rising every day, constant, one with God, loving God, praising God, glorifying God. And that's why if you haven't begun to pray the rounds, I mean, you could get the rounds on the internet, luisapicaretta.me. They're there for you. You could download them. They're free. The one person said to me when they started reading it, they said, it's all repetition. It's repetition. And I said, it's like a heartbeat. It's like your breath. It's when a man and woman get married, it's not just I love you on the wedding day. It's I love you every day. It's not just, everything has, this love of God has to be constant. And Jesus says this constant good makes divine life grow with such energy that you're healthy, spiritually healthy. You don't need doctors. You don't need medicine. He says, but you're robust and strong and you help others with your strength, which is the strength of God. See, everything's going to change. Everything is changing and it's changing for the better. Either we are one with Jesus and Mary, who've said to Luisa, you got to get ready for the kingdom. It's coming on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father is coming to the earth. And he says to Luisa, are you willing to write everything down to prepare my people for my return? And Luisa says, I'll do anything. He says, okay, stay in bed for the rest of your life. And she did. Stop eating. And she did. Stop drinking, and she did. Stop sleeping, and she did. He says, you really want this? And she says, yes, I want what you want, Lord. I want the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what we see with Luisa. Who is this Luisa Picaretta that was the firstborn of the divine will to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, by putting everything down on paper so when we read, we enter into this life. So Jesus says, on the other hand, one who is not constant grows like a child who is not always fed with healthy foods and lives in putrid air, such as the inconstant soul. Constancy is important. Prayer. In the religious life, you pray whether you want to or not. And all of us should be in that religious life. Prayer is important. I don't want to pray. You pray. you make that promise to God, you know, when you enter religious life, you know, I will pray every day. And then as you're praying, Jesus is saying to us, are you focused or are you daydreaming while you're praying? Are you focused or are you falling asleep when you're praying? So he's saying to us, you got to be constant in this. And Jesus says, I'll help you. I'll show you how I prayed. And Mary says the same thing. I'll show you new and powerful prayers that have never been seen before. Why hasn't it been seen before? Because now is the time of sanctification. God is trying to sanctify us. Why? The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is showing us, he's leading us. And the more that we read the book of heaven, the more we really begin to understand how much God loves us. And we begin to breathe in that divine, I love you in creation, the round of creation, round of redemption, and breathe that divine, I love you back. Jesus in us is doing that. The true life of Jesus and Mary in us is doing that. Lord, I want to breathe in this divine, I love you, that you live so that I can be one with you, fused with you in the holy divine will. God goes, good. So he says, with inconstancy and good, it is as if the soul nourishes itself with foods that are not good. and by applying herself to other things which are not God. And it is difficult, as if she was breathing putrid air. We got to stop that. Like I said, Sunday is the Lord's day. Turn off the TV. You know what's going to happen? You're going to turn off the TV and you're going to, what am I going to do? What do I do now? And then Jesus will show you. Jesus, he's so patient with us. He'll show us what to pray, how to pray the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, how to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So he says, so the divine life grows with difficulty and poorly if you're breathing putrid air, because the soul lacks the strength and the vigor of constancy. So let's think of that with the rounds, the book of the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption. Be constant. Breathe this in. Say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Mary, breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Teach me how to pray the way you prayed. Teach me how to surrender to our Heavenly Father, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Teach me how to do this. And they go, good, we will show you. As we showed Louisa put everything down on paper, we'll show you as well. Read what she put down on paper, and Jesus and Mary is going to help you. You will become constant in good, constant in breathing pure air, good air. Your strength of your Catholic life is going to come back more powerfully than ever before, because this is the time that this is happening. And God is asking us to enter into this life. So let us pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.